In Puerto Rico, the power is still out for more than half the island. Progress since Hurricane Maria hit has been fitful. This month, the island hit a goal of restoring half its generating capacity, according to Puerto Rico's governor, Ricardo Rosselló. But a major transmission line failed, and that cut power generation on the island from 50% to 22%. This Thanksgiving, Puerto Rico will have to make do with about 40% capacity. The holiday is likely to be no holiday for millions of people who are still recovering from the storm. This week, an investigation by CNN cast doubt on the official death toll in Puerto Rico. The network surveyed 112 funeral homes across the island. Funeral home directors identified 499 deaths they attributed to Hurricane Maria. The official death toll is 55, compared to 499. Here is the exchange between Héctor Pesquera, who's the secretary of Puerto Rico's Department of Public Safety, and CNN's Leila Santiago.
It's accurate based on the factual information that we received, yes.
Why the gap?
Because, as I said before, I work on factual. I believe.
So we described Pepe's case.
Gentleman is at a home. He has a stroke. The person with him calls 911. 911 says we can't get to him in time because 150 mile per hour winds are pounding us right now. Is that a hurricane related death?
Absolutely.
Okay. Allow me to introduce you to Jose Pepe. That was his case.
Joining us now from San Juan, Puerto Rico is CNN's Leila Santiago. Leila, welcome to 1A.
Thanks for having me, Joshua.
Tell us a bit more about what you were able to find out.
Well, we went out to just try to find out kind of why, how the government was getting its number of 55, the official death toll. And so we started from scratch. We sort of followed different cases to see where there could be gaps in the system, gaps in the protocol. And one of the first things that I found was the issue of the death certificate. The government of Puerto Rico often points to CDC guidelines that indicate doctors should mark on the death certificate if a hurricane or really any natural disaster was a contributing factor in the death. But by law, I also took some time reading the law of Puerto Rico, there is nothing in the law that actually obligates doctors to do so. And so why is that important? Well, if it's not marked on the death certificate, then it never makes it to forensics, and then forensics doesn't investigate the case to see if it was related to the hurricane and then be included in the official death toll. That's why the government of Puerto Rico continues to sort of point the fingers at the doctors because they're not getting the cases because it's not being marked on the death certificate.
What caused this discrepancy?
Well, I think part of it is communication, right? When Maria came in, you were talking about the power numbers, but also communication was quite a bit of an issue. And so the doctors, funeral homes, the government itself has really had a hard time after Maria communicating with each other. The government says that they sent people out to funeral homes, to the cemeteries, to the hospitals to check on suspicious cases. But they found that they were all false claims, or many of them, rather, were false claims. They even went as far in forensics to say they were rumors. So there seems to be quite a bit of miscommunication. And then also, as I mentioned, gaps in the protocol. You know, the death certificate is just one kind of where it starts, where I found that was a big discrepancy and gap in getting to that final death toll number.
When we say gaps in communication and in the protocol, is this just incompetence? I mean, were they just caught unprepared for a disaster of this magnitude?
Well, I think, you know, Puerto Rico has never dealt with anything like Maria. It's in the Caribbean, so of course they've dealt with hurricanes. But the entire grid going down when it comes to power, no communication in terms of not being able to reach homes. And I think it's important to note our methodology. I mean, we reached 112 of those funeral homes, but we called 279. So even for us, it was difficult to reach all of the funeral homes. And that's part of it is because either they're closed because they have no power and so they're not up and running, or the phone lines are down because of the communication issue. So I think the government of Puerto Rico really has to answer to, you know, what they're doing to get to the bottom of this. I'm not sure that they actually were giving much more of a response than what they gave at a press conference, which is, we will investigate what is brought to us. But what I continue to push for is, what are you doing beyond that, right? CNN is calling all of these funeral homes. Why isn't the government calling all of these funeral homes? CNN went to visit families home by home. Why isn't the government visiting these homes one by one, just to try to get to the bottom of this? And
right.
And what's important, as I talked to several experts, is the reason this number is so important is because this could be a missed opportunity to protect people in the future. For example, after one of the hurricanes here years ago, they found that there were a lot of carbon monoxide deaths in one part of the island. So as a result, they launched an education campaign, sent people to that area to make sure that that area knows that if you have generators in your home, that's a risk. And that's how they protected people from carbon monoxide deaths in the future. Well, if we don't get to the bottom of the numbers here, understanding why and how and where, the experts are telling me that could really be a missed opportunity to protect people in the future.
You know, Layla, I'd love to hear more from you about where this goes, whether or not officials are heeding that warning, in just a moment. We are speaking to CNN's Layla Santiago about some excellent reporting the network has done about the discrepancy in the official death toll in Puerto Rico following Hurricane Maria. In just a moment, Thanksgiving is coming up, and there are those who are trying to make sure that the folks who have been affected by and displaced by Hurricane Maria are not doing without Thanksgiving altogether just because a natural disaster has struck. We'll hear from them, and we'll get more of your questions and stories in just a moment. Stay close. Before we get back to our conversation, a quick heads up that next week we will have the next meeting of the 1A Movie Club. And our next film is Pixar's new animated feature, Coco, about a boy in a small Mexican town who dreams of being a musician. The movie follows the supernatural journey he takes on the Mexican holiday Dia de Muertos, the Day of the Dead. Coco comes out nationwide today in English and Spanish after breaking box office records in Mexico. If you go see it, we would love your review of the movie. How many stars out of 5 would you give it, and why? Leave us a voicemail, 855-236-1A1A. And we invite you to leave your review in English or Spanish. Le invitamos a dejar su opinión en inglés o en español. ¿Cuántas estrellas del 1 al 5 le darías a la película Coco y por qué? Deja un mensaje 855-236-1A1A. That's 855-236-1212. We will review Coco, spoilers and all, and share some of your reviews next week on 1A. Back now to our conversation with CNN's Leila Santiago regarding the network's reporting on the official death toll after Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. Leila, would it be in the government's interest to play down the number of people who died? I'm having a hard time thinking that, particularly because, you know, San Juan's mayor, Carmen Yulín Cruz, has been so vocal about the need for more aid. Governor Ricardo Rosselló has also been very vocal about the calamity in Puerto Rico, though the mayor more so. So is there any reason for the government to play down the death toll?
Well, certainly that is something that they talk about a lot themselves. Government officials saying there's no motive for us to hide anything here. But, you know, I would take you back to President Trump's visit. When President Trump visited the island, one of the things that he used as a reason to praise the government here as a job well done was a low death toll. You know, at the time, I believe it was at 16 while the president was here. Within hours, it went up significantly after he left. You know, they have been praised for a good response based on that death toll. So many have pointed to that as a possible reason, a possible motive to keep the numbers down. But government officials, including Secretary Pesquera, that you heard in from our story, he asks the same question. He said, why would I hide this? What motive do I have to keep these numbers down?
John wrote on our Facebook page, is getting an accurate death toll figure possible? We know the island is still in a bad way and some rural communities haven't had much contact with the authorities. Layla?
You know, I'm not sure. Certainly it is a larger task to take on than what's being taken on right now. And there may always be questions about who did or did not die at the hands of Maria. But the point of our story was to question the current number, which is 55. And there's reason to believe on our end, given our findings, that the number could be significantly higher. And in questioning just half, not even, nearly half the funerals on homes on this island who are in direct contact with the families of the people who died shortly after Hurricane Maria, I mean, we found a tally of 9 times the government's number. So there's reason to go there and ask those questions. Whether or not that will ever happen, that's something that I hope the government will soon answer.
Layla, there's another voice we want to bring into the conversation, but I wonder from your perspective how the recovery effort is going in terms of getting power, water, infrastructure, food, medical supplies. One of our listeners, Marge, asked if there are reputable places where she can donate to help provide solar power to Puerto Rico. How is the effort going overall from your perspective?
Well, let me actually talk power for a second, because, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned that the government, and I noticed you were very accurate in your wording, because when the government gives out its numbers in terms of the percentage of people or the percentage of power, they'll often say generation or, as you mentioned, capacity. But let's be very clear on what that means. The government could technically have 100% capacity and have most of the island without power. So they could be at 99% capacity and generation, and 99% of the island could be in the dark. That number does not reflect the amount of clients served. And when I ask the government about that, they will admit they don't know how many people on this island actually have power. They just know how much is being generated, not how much is actually being distributed. So when it comes to relief efforts on this island, power is the number one thing. When I go door to door, when I talk to people on the streets and the plazas, that's what they say. I recently went to my hometown, which is in the interior part of the island, and I walked away with a list. I walked away with a list of the needs, and the number one thing was power. Power is affecting tourism, is affecting businesses, is affecting employment. And so that's what they need to get back up and going. After that, the list was, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not exactly sure the order, but it was water, food, batteries, flashlights, and among some other basic needs. But and of course, generators are still something that everyone looks for around here. You know, when I was in my hometown, I can tell you that the two organizations I went to the distribution center and I specifically said, where did this come from? Where did that come from? And I know Samaritan's Purse had stuff coming in there. Hispanic Federation had stuff coming in there. And FEMA, you know, give credit where credit is due. FEMA is getting stuff to the interior part of the island at this mm-hmm. point. But the recovery effort, I just want to be clear, I mean, it's still a big need here. Without power, there's sort of some areas that are still really paralyzed.
We're speaking to CNN's Layla Santiago about the latest from San Juan, Puerto Rico. There's still time to get in your questions and comments as well. Email 1A@WAMU.org. How are you seeing this recovery effort playing out where you are? And what questions do you have? 1A@WAMU.org. Tweet us at 1A or comment on our Facebook page. We've already heard from some of you who are dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Maria, including this listener who left a note in our inbox.
My name is Xander Morales, originally from Tampa, Florida. Many of my family members have been displaced by the storm in Puerto Rico. Because of that, we've had to bring a lot of them up to Tampa to stay with my folks. And while that's been hard and been a struggle for us, we're actually kind of excited for the holiday season because for once in a long time, we all get to be together and we get to celebrate all of the old traditions and customs of a Puerto Rican Christmas as a family.
Well, that's kind of nice. Xander, thank you for leaving that message. And as it relates to celebrating the holidays, we're pleased to be joined on the phone now from Virginia Beach, Virginia, by Gary LeBlanc, who is the founder and president of Mercy Chefs. Gary, welcome to 1A.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, as I understand, your group has been active in Puerto Rico for the last few months. Talk about some of the disaster relief work that you've been doing.
Well, we knew that Puerto Rico was going to need a hand, not just from the larger organizations, but from the smaller ones as well. And so we searched right from our work here in the United States that was also pretty unprecedented from the hurricane season. And we went into Puerto Rico. We found two church partners there where we are rebuilding their kitchens to give them a larger capacity and a commercial equipment line. And we're sending our chefs down to work with those church employees. We're actually hiring people in Puerto Rico to operate the kitchens. These kitchens will do community feeding. They'll feed folks that are coming for food and water distribution, but they'll also support the American volunteer and building teams that will be going to Puerto Rico over the next months and over the next years.
Talk to me about what these kitchens look like. Are we talking about industrial restaurant type kitchens?
Yes, that's exactly the idea, is to upgrade their kitchens to have the capacity that we have in our kitchens here on the mainland. But remembering always that Puerto Rico is America, and Americans always need to be helping Americans. In addition to the kitchens, we're doing water purification units around the island. We have 5 units on the island. We're trying to raise funds to put another 12 units there if possible.
Talk about the impact that having these professional chefs, professional quality kitchens, is making for the people who are still recovering from Hurricane Maria. I think, you know, a lot of us, when we think about meals after a disaster, you're eating oodles and noodles and Ritz crackers for a very long time. I imagine it makes a huge difference to get a proper restaurant quality kitchen meal again.
Well, that is the heart of Mercy Chefs and what we do. We think that something amazing happens over a shared meal. You know, we do it as family, we do it as friends, we'll do it at the holidays. But to be able to go and do it with people that have lost so much, to create that moment that normalcy can begin to creep back in, to create an opportunity for folks to connect outside of whatever circle they've been living in, is critically important. It helps create a sense of community, and that sense of community is what's going to help Puerto Rico recover.
We're speaking to Gary LeBlanc, the founder and president of Mercy Chefs, and we're still joined by CNN's Leila Santiago, who is in San Juan. Gary joining us from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Gary, I don't know if you heard when we were speaking to Leila about infrastructure in Puerto Rico. Power is, of course, a major issue. How are you dealing with some of the infrastructure issues in getting a kitchen set up? I mean, it sounds like you would need things like power and running water and gas and all kinds of other utilities that may be still pretty jacked up after the hurricane. How's that going?
Well, there's no doubt that there's a huge infrastructure problem in Puerto Rico and that it is affecting the recovery efforts. I mean, our kitchens, we have to run off of generators. And the water units that we send around the country, they can run off of a car battery, but a generator makes them run more efficiently. So as we've traveled to Puerto Rico over the last months, I personally have made 3 trips. I'm getting ready to make my 4th. I check generators as luggage. And we are bringing as much as we can to the island. And it's unbelievable to see the looks on people's face when you show up with a generator, as you partner with them with a water purification unit. It creates an incredible sense of independence that they don't have. I mean, you don't know what you don't have until it's gone.
Yeah.
And to not have power, to not have water, to not have access to all the things that those create is just, it's devastating. It breaks the very fabric that people are used to living with.
Let me get to a few more of your questions and comments before our time is up. Isn't It Rich tweeted, on vacation today, running errands for Thanksgiving, listening to 1A. Leila, impressed by your reporting on the death toll from Hurricane Maria, giving you a follow, and thanks for your focus on Puerto Rico. We've also gotten a number of emails making the point that if the authorities on the island, Leila, if the authorities on the island are pretty much bankrupt, would they have the resources to correctly verify deaths in the field? What about that? We've heard a lot about Puerto Rico's economic woes. How does that factor into all this right now?
Right. So Puerto Rico, before Hurricane Maria was even in the ocean, was $70 billion in debt. I mean, there's sort of that other storm that is looming over the island constantly, and that is the debt issue. When it comes to resources, however, in counting the death toll, it's a very fair question. The pathologists at Forensics are short-staffed. When I asked specifically, they only have five. Where they got a little bit of help was there was an army team that came in to help at the morgue as well as with pathologists, et cetera. And then they also had DMORT, which is a service that comes in when there is natural disaster. DMORT played a huge role after Katrina in Louisiana. And now they did the same thing here. They brought in extra storage spaces. They brought in pathologists to help in reviewing cases and autopsies. It's very fair to say that the resources here are strained. When it comes to the death toll, however, there were additional resources that were brought in to help with that.
I should note, by the way, we have a link to Mercy Chefs, and you can watch Layla's report from CNN on our website, the1a.org. Stephen emails, how effective has Caritas de Puerto Rico been since the storm? That's a Catholic charity. Layla, I'm not familiar with that organization. Do you know them and whether or not they've been active in the recovery?
You know, I can't say that I am familiar with them. There are several church groups that have certainly taken on efforts here. I've seen them as they're out and about distributing water in areas like Quebradillas, in Corozal, my hometown, in the interior. That one in particular, I don't know, but I can speak to the faith community in general has had a presence in recovery efforts here.
Gary, could I ask you where you are seeing this effort going? How long do you think you'll be needed on the ground in Puerto Rico, and what do you perhaps need to make sure that your recovery effort is a success? Briefly.
Well, any of the organizations that are working in Puerto Rico are going to need funding. I mean, you hate to say that, but it does boil down to the resources that you have to apply. So that's the answer to what is needed there. I think in terms of how long the need is going to be, it's going to be years. And there's no need to say that it's going to be a month or a week to recovery. It's going to be years in Puerto Rico. I mean, I visited with an elderly couple trying to make a connection with them and their family here in the United States. And the lady just cried. She was like, I just hope God gives us the grace and the power to last 6 months until the electricity comes back. And I mean, that was her expectation of recovery, was maybe in 6 months we'll have power again. I hope I can hold on.
And Layla, before we let you go, what's next on the ground? What are you keeping an eye out for? Is it more with the death toll, or is there another big issue with Puerto Rico's recovery that we should be watching before we're out of time?
Sure. No, I will be following up on the death toll. The secretary gave me his word that he's looking into the multiple cases that we presented him with, that he will investigate, and if justified, add that to the death toll. So we're certainly going to be holding him accountable for that and checking on that. We do know after our report aired, they put a call out urging funeral homes to share that information with the Department of Public Safety so that they can further investigate. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on that. And listen, the recovery effort in general, I mean, its impact on jobs, on tourism, on the health of Puerto Ricans, all of that will be here and should be a concern for not months, but years.
That's CNN's Layla Santiago. Excellent reporting, Layla, and thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
And Gary LeBlanc, the founder and president of Mercy Chefs. Gary, thank you.
It was my pleasure.
Remember to leave us your reviews of the movie Coco, 855-236-1A1A. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for listening. Happy Thanksgiving. This is 1A.